said ever not to pray for the man of God as he comes. We just pray that the Lord loose him and use him. And I hope everybody's been praying today, looking for something from the Lord. On, as far as we know, the last night of the meeting here has just been a very refreshing meeting this week, I would say. It's been helpful to me. I hope it's been helpful to others. And just pray that God will use it to equip us to do what it is that he wants us to do. I know I fail so miserably at it. And what I find myself praying so often is for God to just put in me a greater desire to do his will. Because so many times I find that the hesitancy of this flesh overcomes my desire to do what it is that God wants me to do. And I feel so helpless realizing that I don't really think there's anything I can do about that. I mean, I don't think there is. I mean, I'm depending on the Lord to change that in me, and that's my prayer that he will. And I pray that what has been preached this week will do that for all of us, wherever it is in our walk with the Lord. We're all in different places. We all come from different places. God's got us each on a different path. But I think, Lord, that they're all in the same place. That's one thing about it. If we're saved, we're going to end up over there. You know, and if we absolutely blow it in the meantime, that's why he died for us. Right? So we go get there. Amen. So I thank the Lord for that assurance. But just so remember Preacher Doug this evening. Always remember our pastor. We appreciate him very much and his family. I wonder, has anybody heard from Preacher Pat? Is he doing okay?
He's doing better.
Good.
He's doing better. He said
Oh, okay. It got out, did it?
He said, Lord, take care of him.
Amen. That's all right. Amen. I appreciate that. I mean, the Lord still answers prayers.
Yeah.
And we do remember Miss Brenda. She went to the doctor today because she hadn't been bothered in a throat. Couldn't figure out what it was. Turned out she had strep throat. Didn't have fever or nothing. Had no idea. So just pray for her. And I feel like what she would say if she were here is that if anybody else gets strep throat, it's Tommy's fault. But no, do pray for Miss Brenda. And I know there's many others that have requests, and I wonder if there's anybody got one you want to make mention of. Kent, how did his surgery go?
Thank you.
Yeah, I did want to mention, Sherry was telling me, this video was doing pretty good, but we weren't planning on being here Sunday morning. And said Richard Billy was doing pretty good from getting that skin cancer took off. It was kind of a small spot, and he said he would be able to take off his bandage and say tomorrow. So appreciate it. Helping with that. She was telling me as part of that ear, the kid would put the ear thing in his ear because that bandage was on there, so he wouldn't have heard anything anyway.
Jim Brooks Charles, he's got a bandage place to take it off the nail.
Yes.
And now two places, I should say, your pictures look about there.
Yes, amen.
I know a cousin, she's got cancer. She went in for tests about 7 or 8 days ago. She ain't got to come home yet. But just pray for her. Said it's fast moving, but they hope she can respond to treatment. I don't believe they've got her stable enough to treat her yet. She's only about 26 years old. Pray for her. Her name's Angela.
I'm sorry, did you say Angela? See, where's the pastor now?
He's retired.
Oh, okay.
He managed to start that day.
That was just been up till recently, hasn't it? Okay. And I remember preacher J.D. All right, that's all. I'll stand, please. Tom Ashford, would you lead us, please?
It's good to be in the Lord's house.
Yeah.
Amen. I appreciate the meeting this week. It's been a blessing. I thank God for what He's done in my heart, being a help to me. It's been a rough last few months for us. We've got no reason to complain. I got pretty good health, a little fat, but other than that, I got pretty good health. I got a good marriage. I got a good wife. I got very healthy youngins, built my house, and that's coming along and everything. I got a wonderful church family who loves and supports me. For whatever reason, I've been stressed out, and I don't know why. And I just can't seem to shake it. And I appreciate y'all praying for me. And like I said, I got no reason to be, and I don't know why, but sometimes that's just the way it is. But nevertheless, God is good.
Yeah.
And everything could be going right for you down here. And you know, you still just ain't comfortable.
Yeah.
I suspect that's because this just ain't my home. And I am content with that much.
Yeah.
To know that as good as things could get down here, like Solomon said, it's all vanity.
Yeah.
And I know that I'm going somewhere better. And I thank God for being good to me. And I thank God for all of his blessings. I thank God for being a big enough God to take care of us when things are good, when things are bad, no matter how things are. God's still God. And he still stands behind his promises. He still stands behind us. What he said he'll do, he will accomplish. I know that where he is, I am going to be with him. And I thank God for that. I hope that you can say the same. This life ain't always easy. I'm glad I got to know I got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And walk through this life with me. And oh, how I fail him, but he never fails me. I thank God for that. Tonight, we've asked Preacher Doug if he'd sing for us tonight. And y'all didn't know it, but he's a pretty good singer. He's a pretty good preacher, and he's a pretty good singer. Tony Lamb, he ain't here tonight. He said one time, he's like me, he can't sing. Couldn't carry a tune but. So he's like me in that sense. And he said this, not me, so you take that pen. He said, you know what they call it? A singer, a preacher, a singer, don't you? He said, what? He said, a compromiser. But no, we know it's not a preach. I'm glad God gave him a gift to be able to sing as well. Could be like me, can't do me. But brother, you come on and sing to us. We appreciate you being willing. We appreciate you bringing the word to us this week.
I prosper in you.
Yes, I.
He's so precious. sea's raging, waves are crashing loud, and my heart is heavy. I'm swiftly going down. Help me to remember I ever loved the sea. That underneath the care, your arms are holding me.
Amen.
In your arms you cradle me,
make me feel secure.
In your arms you show me
your mercy.
Not just does he know the number of from the hairs of my head. He says they're numbered. I believe that every single microbe that makes up my body, just like if you used to get an instruction manual, and it tells you the pieces, which ones to put where. I believe in God's omniscience in his mind. He's got all that recorded. You know, I believe everything he knows every time there's a flake of skin falls off of my body. I know that. You know why? Because he is that personally connected to me.
Yes, he is.
Now, when you think about that, and think about how that, of all the things that he loves us so much. The Bible says that he spared not his own son. I think about, you know, how that we can easily spoil children by just giving them everything they want. You want to give them things, that's what you want to do as a mom and dad. You're crazy if you don't want to do things for them, you know, and see them happy. But sometimes you ain't doing them no good. And it just spoils them. I believe we get that nature from God because I believe he gives us more than what we deserve. He spoils us. When you really think about it. And a lot of times that's why we're as unthankful as we are, because God's been too good to us. He is a good father, and I thank God for that. I just want to thank him. Preacher, you come on and preach to us.
Well, Preacher, I've been this as happy as you this for losing, Preacher. I'm like you. I've never felt like that I was anything special. And I appreciate the Lord certainly loving me. Been good. I told my wife who was coming down the road, I said, man, it's amazing how fast these 3 nights for us have passed. And I said, Mike, it's been a blessing. It's not been a labor to preach. I appreciate that. There's a few places that I've been that I remember. I preached a lot of places I probably don't remember being there. I just sometimes it comes to my mind. Them hard places you kind of remember. They're kind of hard to get out of your mind, a couple of places that I particularly remember. I don't know what was going on. I'm going to tell you, it was almost at the bottom. It's been good to hear this week. Good liberty. Appreciate people that love God. We're getting few and far between, you know that. And old time worship's getting less and less interest to people. I'm like the old missionary told me, he said, if you're born in the fire, the smoke will never do. That's kind of the way I feel tonight. Appreciate the Lord saving me in the old-fashioned way. I'm going to stay in this old-fashioned book. I remember a preacher friend of mine, he's in heaven now, Brother Bill Buchanan, up in Marion, Brother Billy, though. We was having a fellowship meeting, he got up one night, he said, well, he said, I've got an old car, I preach out an old book, I'm married to an old woman, my wife comes to me and says, you better not never get it. Praise God, I tell you, it's just a blessing. Enjoy the Lord. I want you to take your Bible tonight. Turn with me to Luke chapter number 15. It's actually quite a few verses in this chapter 32. You're familiar with most of them, but I'm going to just kind of hit some highlights. Now I'm going to talk about all three of these instances in this chapter. This chapter is about lost and found. It's about lost and found and rejoice. Lost something, found it, and they rejoice. No wonder the apostle said we ought to rejoice evermore. If you can't find anything else, be thankful for it. You ought to thank God that the good shepherd come looking for you.
Yes, sir.
But then there's the idea tonight we'll look at about, we know that there was a search for the sheep, there was a search for the lost coin. That son had to come back on his own.
Yeah.
And so God, I mean, there's an initial part of salvation that God initiates and he does.
Yeah.
But there's also tonight human responsibility.
Yeah.
Once you're saved, it's your prerogative. You're either going to live forever or you're not.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why. To me, I think some of the most miserable people in the world tonight are people that are saved that are trying to live outside of the realm of God's name.
Right.
They want to make you think they're happy, but I know better than that.
Yeah.
Because just like this prodigal, when it got to a point in his life, he realized that this didn't work.
Yeah.
Amen. And I don't know tonight that there's anything in this world to me that would be worth trade what I have in my relationship with the Lord and the Father's house.
Amen.
I don't know if anything would be worth the trade off.
Right.
You'd lose every time.
Right.
And I praise him tonight that he's let us come together again in his house. We'll read just, if you look at verse 1, if you will, it said, then drew it near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them.
Yeah.
So their murmuring tonight gave Jesus an occasion for this parable. Amen.
Right.
There are not three parables here. They all run consecutive. Because the word parable is only mentioned one time in this chapter. And each of these are continuations. So he's given us some idea tonight about how much he loves the sinner.
Yeah. Amen.
For those that drew near unto him, the publicans and the sinners. But then that religious crowd, they murmured.
Yeah.
They didn't like it. Because he seemed to receive, you know, he was accused of being a friend of publicans and sinners.
Amen.
Isn't it a blessing tonight to have a friend like Jesus?
Amen.
He don't judge us by what we are, but he judges us on what he can do for us.
Amen.
Yield to us.
Yeah.
I've often said this. The prophet said that he would come as a root out of dry ground. And I've always said this, what does a root get out of dry ground? Nothing.
Yeah.
He didn't come to this world to take from the world. He came to the world to give it something.
Yeah.
He brought us salvation tonight.
Amen.
I won't ever get over the fact that God wondrously and gloriously saved me.
Amen.
By his grace.
Amen.
So it said, what man of you having 100 sheep, you lose one of them, do not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. And when he had found it, he laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing.
Yeah.
Then we say unto him, we'll make some reference, but he says in verse 8, either what woman had in 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, do it not light a candle, sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece that I had lost. Likewise, I said to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. Then you know the story of the prodigal. The Bible said in verse 12, or verse 11, he said, a certain man had two sons. Younger than said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance, but rather was living. But you'll find that whenever he makes his trek back home, verse 20 said that he arose and came to his father when he was yet a great way off. His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him.
Yeah.
And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and thy sight, no more worthy to be called thy son. Father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. They began to be merry. Father, tonight in Jesus' name, you know why you brought our heart to this study tonight. I pray, Lord, you'll help me. Give me unction, give me the authority. Lord, I pray you open the minds and hearts of all of us here tonight, Lord, just to rejoice in the fact that you so loved us. And Father, we're glad tonight while we don't have a lot of record about that sheep being found. We do have record of the shepherd who rejoiced. Lord, it's beyond me tonight how you can take an old dirty rotten hell deserving stuff and find something in us that you can rejoice about. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for standing and receiving. Said these three parables are not contradictory, but they are supplementary to each other.
Yeah.
They teach us that there can be no divided loyalties.
Yeah.
Once we enthrone him as the Lord of our life, his compassion is boundless. We may stumble and stumble and stumble. He will forgive and forgive and forgive. Till at last, by his grace and power, everything that is displeasing to him shall be banished from our lives.
Yeah.
He's working on us in the power of sanctification tonight. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, the three parables recorded here in Luke 15 are not repetitions. They all declare the same truth, but each one reveals a different phrase, a phase of it. Each one of the parables is needful to the other, and when combined, they present us with a far more complete exposition of their doctrine than could have been conveyed in any one of them. So, as I've already said, it says that this parable leads to a continuation. It didn't say that the woman's lost coin was another parable, or the son's house story was another parable. They're a continuation because he's given us certainly some indication about his love for lost sinners. That's who's there. That's who came to hear him. The publicans and the sinners. He wanted them to know, thank God, that they would be loved by him. And so we know that the word parable is only used once here in this chapter, and again showing us they're all connected to teach a valuable truth about Christ's love for us as sinners.
Yeah.
In the text, it was the publicans and sinners who came to hear him, while the Pharisees and scribes murmured against him for his friendliness toward sinners. Now we know in the story there's something lost. There's a lost sheep, there's a lost silver coin, and there's a lost son. In each case, the lost object is found and will cause rejoicing. Yeah. It can be said the sheep is innocently lost.
Yeah.
And then we also, the coin was carelessly lost. But the lost son was willfully lost.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Sheep were dumb.
Yeah.
And they are dumb. The Bible said they're dumb. I remember listening to a lecture years ago from Liberty Bible Institute. Harold Lemington said he was at a slaughterhouse. He said when they divided up the animals, they were slaughtered. They were slaughtering cattle and slaughtering hogs and slaughtering sheep. He said when that slaughterhouse, he said, you know, that cow, the cows would smell that sense of death, and they'd be making noise and mooing and all that kind of stuff, because they sensed it. The pigs or the hogs were doing the same. But he said, but the unique thing was, and we went in there where they were slaughtering those lambs, there was no sound.
Yeah.
One would just step up and be slaughtered, and one right behind him would step up and be slaughtered. And that's why the Bible said Jesus, even as a lamb dumb before his shears, opened not his mouth.
Yeah.
And so there was something about us. And we were out yonder one day, the problem is we were just born wrong.
Yeah.
Right. We were just born and conceived and saved.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, it wasn't the fact that you may have just automatically chose that, it's already in you.
Right. Amen.
And if it hadn't been for him coming.
Amen.
Amen.
Showing us the right road and the right direction.
Yeah.
We'll still be out somewhere.
Yes.
Amen. I tell the church this, and I mean, I know you these panhandlers out here, but sometimes Brother Stoney, it just moves me. I'm thinking. The only difference probably in me and that man is one day Jesus saved my soul.
Amen.
Put me into the paradise of salvation.
Amen.
Probably that fellow made her own choice. And I'm not saying that some of them not saved. I'm just saying even a saved person, God won't, here's the thing you got to understand. God won't keep you from sinning tonight.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
But you better be prepared to pay the consequences.
Right.
Because there will be consequences.
Right.
Amen. But then you think about it. So we also see the percentage of the lost growing in each case. 1 out of 100. 1 out of 10. Then 1 out of 2. And these three words, it gives a good summary of this chapter. Are lost, found, rejoice. There's a truth that's evident in this chapter. There's God's part. The shepherd seeks the lost sheep. There's the woman who seeks the lost coin. But in the case of the son, we see man's responsibility to repent and return home. Now we might know that each of these were thought to be worth saving. I'm going to just kind of give you just a little general summary as we look at these tonight. The lost sheep here. What man, verse 4, having 100 sheep, he lose one, then do not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. When he had found it, he laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Sheep in Scripture typed as dumb animals. The sheep here was lost because of its foolishness. Sheep, they're not strong, they're not swift, definitely not smart. Without the guidance of the shepherd, they'll wander and cannot find the way home on their own. It was the responsibility of the shepherd that each sheep, how he was responsible for each and every sheep.
Yeah.
Here's an Old Testament principle that's taught in Exodus 22, verses 10 through 13. He said, if a man deliver unto his neighbor an ass or an ox or a sheep or any beast to keep, and it die or be hurt or driven away, no man see it, then shall an oath of the Lord be between them both, that he hath not put his hand upon unto his neighbor's goods, and the owner of it shall accept thereof and shall not make it good. And if it be stolen from him, he shall make restitution unto the owner thereof. If it be torn in pieces, then let him bring it for a witness, and he shall not make good for that which was torn.
Right.
You see the principle here. The shepherd, if he gave a sheep to somebody, that sheep got sick or died or something happened that was beyond the fellow that he gave it to, beyond his control, then there was no damage done.
Yeah.
But if that sheep got stolen, If that fellow stole it, say for instance, he's not willing to pay how the price for it, he steals it, then the Bible said there's got to be restitution made.
Right.
You see the principle here? Jesus was the shepherd come looking. For the sheep, my friend, that got stolen in the sin. He's made restitution for us tonight. Praise God. Hey, brother, he realized that we owe the debt we could not pay. He didn't come, thank God. We're in a mess. We're in a mess tonight that the Lord Jesus doesn't come and make restitution for our loss. Amen. Verse 10 of Luke 19 said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now once the lost sheep was found, he placed it on his shoulders and carried it on.
Yeah.
I believe that's of significance. The high priest of the Old Testament wore an ephod. And on the shoulders of that ephod was two stones.
Yeah.
One of them was engraved the names of the 12 tribes. Six on one stone, six on the other. In essence, Jesus here is typifying as the high priest, of course, that high priest carried the 12 tribes on his shoulders.
Yeah.
Wonder why that shepherd picked that little lamb up and put it on his shoulders. Because he's a carrying us.
Right.
He is tonight our high priest.
Amen.
We're right next to his heart tonight.
Yeah.
Amen.
I like over there in Isaiah where it said he picketh up the little lambs and carries them in his bosom.
Yeah.
I read a story one time about a shepherd. He said what he would do. He said when that little lamb was born in those early days, they're the most critical times for that little lamb. What he'll do, he'll carry it, put it in his bosom, let it get his smell and his sin, hear his voice.
Amen.
I mean, you want that little lamb to live, he'll recognize that they are a shepherd. I read a story one time. They said, you know, and Jesus talked about being the door of the porter opening for the shepherd. They tell me what they would do when they came into town at night. There was a big place, and they'd bring all the sheep in.
Yeah.
As the shepherds came in, they'd bring them all in together. They would so in the morning when the shepherds would get ready to leave, all he would have to do was just come out there and speak. The sheep that recognized their shepherd's voice,
right,
they would follow that shepherd.
Amen.
The rest of them wouldn't move till they recognized the voice of their shepherd. I heard one time they said somebody tried to disguise her voice, sound almost like the shepherd. They said those sheep never moved because they had such a keenness to be able to discern how the shepherd's voice.
Right.
But Jesus said, he said, my sheep hear my voice.
Yeah.
And strange if they all not follow.
Amen.
I say there's a lot of millstone, there's a lot of whispering going on
right
in a preacher's mind and his heart. There's a lot of strange voices that try to influence. I praise and thank God for times at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Reality is, while there's nothing said about how the sheep felt being found, but the joy of the shepherd is clearly seen when he has found that which was lost. We mean so much for the Lord. Here's a clear picture of his love. Heaven rejoices over the repentance of the sinner.
Yeah.
Amen. We ought to remember this. God, the Bible said hell was made for the devil.
Right.
It was never God's intent for men to go there.
Right.
Well, Stoney, I preach like this. You go to hell, it's called to you. You know what sends people to hell? Well, I know there's going to be judgment for sin. I understand that. There'll be degrees of punishment for sin in hell. I believe that. But you know what the thing is? The one thing, the one sin that sends men to hell is disbelief and unbelief of the Lord Jesus. The Bible said in Revelation, it's the fearful and the unbelief that have their part in the lake of fire.
Right.
You don't think people's afraid of God, do you? Why, yeah, they are.
Yeah.
You guys go hunting, they say,
You said, let's go fishing. When you want to go? Let's go to church. Well.
Yeah.
I don't think that. I mean, I just don't think I've got time for that.
Yeah.
What are they afraid of?
Right.
There's something in them that makes them afraid to approach unto God.
Right.
He said that fearfulness, if you ain't careful, it'll take you away from them.
Yeah.
But he said that it causes unbelief. Now, let me just move on. Let's look a little bit about this lost silver here, the coin. Verse 8 said, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, do it not light a candle, sweep the house, and seek diligence till she find it. When she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, here it is again, rejoice with me, for I found the piece which I have lost.
Yeah.
Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy, watch this, in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth.
Right.
We'll say something about that in a minute. You might take it. Now the shepherd seeking his sheep symbolizes divine tenderness.
Right.
And the old sheep, that hunter just got lost and wandered off. It needed it.
Yeah.
But the humble woman searching for her silver piece with much diligence and painstaking, that portrays divine earnestness.
Yeah.
Most of us didn't come the first time he came.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Now some do, and I thank God for
right.
it.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, probably a lot of us here tonight, if we didn't come the first time, we felt that urge to come to the Lord.
Yeah.
But aren't you glad for that earnestness?
Right.
Amen. Just kept looking, searching. Amen. And so you understand that sheep, how kind of represents divine earnestness. Now when a Jewish girl married, she began to wear a headband of 10 silver coins to signify that she was now alive. She would consider it a great loss to lose one of the coins. The coin would not have meant as much to others as it meant to her. And whatever the value of the silver, it was priceless value out to the woman who wore it.
Yeah.
Let me ask you ladies this tonight. That wedding ring or that diamond ring you were wearing, would it bother you if you lost it?
Yeah.
It bothered me if my wife lost hers, I'll just be honest with you. I'd be down on my hands and knees, Donnie, helping her find it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I had a jeweler tell me one time, she said she always enjoyed these little boys coming here with these girls, you know, and they're going to propose. She said, I always like to look on them boys' faces. You know they ain't got no money. He said, them girls will pick up them big old diamonds. He said, them women will just be sparkling. They'll voice down there. You can just tell the wheels is turning to get behind in the world. And I'm going to pay for it.
Yeah.
But the emphasis here was, this coin meant something to this girl, to this woman, because it was something certainly of sentimental value. Now I think this can remind us of the work of the Holy Spirit in the church. He first lights the lamp, which can represent the work of God.
Amen.
Amen. I've made up my mind. I mean, we don't have as many on Sunday night and Wednesday night as we have on Sunday morning. You say, well, I know some churches since COVID, they just quit Sunday night and Wednesday night. But I about make this my resolution. I said, as long as I'm pastor here, we're going to keep the lights on. You don't ever know.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Yes.
But God's not finding the coin.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. They need to have a lamp turned on in their heart.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. They need to be found.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I tell you what's a blessing tonight. Think about it. She searched the house. Now we realize that the Holy Spirit sweeps the house, searching diligently for the coin. Now the lost coin is of no value to the woman while it remains lost. We're no value to the Lord as long as we remain lost.
Right.
Anything that's lost is of no value.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
All you can say is one day I own it.
Yeah.
Lost.
Yeah.
See?
several years ago, we had a revival at River Valley, and it was on a Friday night, and I think it was going through Saturday night. But anyway, I left my instruments, had two guitar, bass guitar, and regular, I used my electric guitar, that comes out of business now. And some low-down thief on Friday night, and stole it, and just cleaned it out. All I'm talking about is I used to have it. It's lost. Yeah. I haven't seen it since that day. But the reality is, as long as anybody lost. Now let me just stop right here and say something. And I appreciate we come to church, and our church does it. And I mentioned to them, and some will mention to you. Now I thank God for the people that say it. But where is it we've lost such a burden? Mm-hmm. People is lost.
Right.
I mean, I don't understand. I mean, here's the thing. Cheryl and I raised three children, and they're all doing well. They all go to church and all serve.
Hey.
Yeah. But most the only house to deal with every day. My two older grandkids, they're saved. I mean, the evidence in their life that they are, but they got two little younger grandkids coming on.
Yeah.
Every day I pray, God, would just save them.
Amen.
And I don't understand why. I mean, I have some in my church. I mean, here's the thing I don't understand. Why is it we're not, well, everybody say, oh, they're good youngins. They're good at sports. They're good at this. They're good at that. You know what? If they're lost, they're good enough to go to hell.
Yeah.
Bro, we ought to be letting these tears, these altars with our tears.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Tears is a language God understands.
Right.
Amen. Did not our Lord weep? You know why he wept? He wept over lost people.
Right.
He looked over Jerusalem. He wept over them because he said, so often I would have gathered to the gatherings and him gathered the room. But you just run off. You run off. You won't come to it.
Yeah. Amen.
When that little short person, John 11:35, Jesus wept, he knew even because Lazarus died.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Well, you say, how do you know that? Because Lazarus don't live.
Yep.
What he wept over, if you look at the context, he wept over that crowd's unbelief.
Right.
Amen.
Because he said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that liveth and believeth in me, though he were dead, death shall he live.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right. Thank you.
Believest thou this?
Amen.
Here's the thing tonight. Brother, we need to get a burden and concern again. If heaven rejoices over a sinner that comes to God, where is the rejoicing? In the church. The sweetest thing for any church to experience is the cry of a newborn babe.
Yeah.
In the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen.
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 I know how we do. They don't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
It's our job to try and see to it that they believe.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
So, here's my take on that. He said, likewise, I said to you, there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repented. Now we say, I mean, I know it said that the angels, there's joy among the angels. This says there's joy in the presence of the angels. Let me tell you what I think it is. The Bible says that God bottles up our prayers. And one day, John said they opened it and made the sweet smelling savor around the throne.
Yeah.
I use my wife's grandpa, Mark, as an example. He helped ordain me. He's a good, Brother Stone, he's this type fella. When I first started preaching, I'll be honest, I was intimidated. Sometimes I just didn't want anybody to really know it, you know. I'm a preacher. But we'd go up and see him and Grandma Martin.
And before I leave, he'd make me feel like I'm more important than Billy Graham. I'm just kidding. But you know, all his kids, about all of them, I think maybe, except maybe Uncle Bud, I haven't been the only one who was in church that time. I don't know if he's in church right now. But when he died, and I was there, I went to see him while he was in the hospital, was in intensive care. And I remember one grandma of mine told me, she said, it's on a Sunday, and Cheryl and I went, we had prayer, and you could tell it just a matter of time. And grandma, she is a good old saint. She loved God. And she told me, she said, after we prayed, she said, I knew it wouldn't be long. She said, I could see the angels circling his bed. But after Grandpa died, and I'm getting to a point, I wonder, my thought was, I wonder how many times he prayed for his children.
Yeah.
To get right with God.
Yeah.
Never lived. But after he died, Grandma's having college prayer in the house. One by one, the youngins coming in and get right with God.
Amen.
And I've often thought, I just wonder, I don't know I'm right on this, but the Bible says there's joy in the presence of God.
Yeah. Amen.
I just wonder, Stoney, if God didn't pull the curtain back and say, look,
yeah.
Amen.
I answered your prayer right
there. Amen.
Amen.
God, just encourage you tonight, don't give up.
Amen.
Just keep praying.
Amen.
You know what? We had recently in our church, Brother Ron Martin, he's Kyle Rowland's brother. He's a hoot. But every time he comes to church, he used to tell us some story. But he told us a story the last time he was there. I believe he said it was his aunt. Her husband was lost. And he said that she began to pray for him. And she said, he never got saved. He said, I think it took 60 years. The time she started praying for him, but he got saved. He never got saved. He was 80-year-old. The ordained him a deacon, I think, said lived to be about 100.
Amen.
But they said, Aunt so-and-so said, I bet you really rejoicing over so-and-so got saved. She said, why not? She said, how long did you pray for him? Said, you probably prayed for him all these years for him to get saved. She said, no, about 4.5 months. She said, in the first 4.5 months, she said, I prayed for him. This is what he said, and I believe this. So Billy, he said that the Lord told her, I'm going to save you. After 4.5 months, she said, I quit. I just prayed for him. He said, the Lord told me, he's going to save me. I just wait on God. 80 years old, I
say.
Aren't you glad we got a God?
Amen.
You know what the problem with us is, we're confined to time.
Yes.
God's got all eternity.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
But my joy in the presence of God.
Yeah.
Hey, I wonder if some of you have some already in heaven to pray for you.
Yeah.
Hey, God, let me see that your prayers were not in vain. There's joy in the presence of the angels.
Amen.
Amen. You know what? You look at the church tonight, and I got to hurry. You look at the church, and you ask, we're just a small part of it. The majority of it's already in heaven tonight.
Yeah.
It's a number that no man can number.
Yeah.
Amen. And I'm glad to be a part of it. Now let's talk a little bit about the lost son. Now the first two parables, they are in question form. What man, what woman having lost the corn, what shepherd having lost the sheep. But this parable, the lost son, is in positive narrative form taken from a common daily life. While we see the sinfulness of the prodigal son, the emphasis should always be upon the loving kindness of the Father.
Yeah.
While the sheep and the corn are sought after, the father did not seek after the son. We do know that it was the son's memory of the delights of the father that led him to repent and return. This parable can be considered the crown and pearl of all parables. We can basically see there are three stages in the son's, a rebellious son's life. One preacher tells it like this. He dropped the pail, jumped the rail, and hit the trail. When he got right with God, when he had a little conversation with himself, he dropped that pail, hit the trail. How my friends jumped the rail and hit the trail. Let's go through this right quick. Think about his rejection of home. Here's the thing. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took a journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance right as living. That far country is not so much about the distance as it is the condition,
right,
and attitude of heart. We got people sitting in our churches all across this county. They're always there, but their mind is in that fall. They're the crowd that you preach too long to. They're the crowd that the service is too loud. Two little girls come up to me Sunday morning and they said, "Why was you there?" I said, "I want them to hear me." Oh my, we're battling some preachers.
Amen.
Man, they got their mind on that far country.
Yeah.
It ain't about distance, it's about that condition, attitude, heart.
Right.
Many in Christ, they drew nigh to him with their lips, but their heart was far from him. They gave him lip service, but they didn't have a heart. There's a difference, you know that. Then the thing is, the things that take us away from the comforts of the Father's house are these. It's the desire of the flesh. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It all takes one down a long, winding road of destruction and disappointment. I preach the devil's two halves. He don't have to change them. They're still working. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life, still working. So all he got to flash something in front of them, they're gone. Well, that old boy, bless God, he gets out yonder and finds himself. The Bible said when he had spent all the arrows of mighty famine in that land, he began to be at one. So he makes a decision. He's still going to return home. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, "Father, I've sinned against heaven for thee. No more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." Now the lost son comes to this conclusion that he's sinned, that he's a sinner, not worthy to be a son. Sin often causes insanity. You ever notice that?
Right.
But true repentance will put one on the road to recovery. It was the thoughts of the goodness of his father that led him to repentance. I believe in preaching on hell, but I'm going to tell you what really speaks to all of us tonight is the fact that somebody loved you and you so much.
That
he laid down his life. The Bible says it. Romans 2:3-4, "Thinkest thou this, O man, to judge them that do such things, doest thou the same? How thou shalt thou escape the judgment of God? Despise thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." Do you remember that? I mean, you remember that first experience of your salvation when you realized for the first time, he really loves me.
Amen.
I detest to hear people say, "Oh, God don't love nobody." I mean, what else could God do than what he's already done? He gave the best of it. I started to preach on the mention of love. Did you know the first mention of love in the Bible was a father and son? It's Abraham and Isaac. And God said to Abraham, "Abraham, won't you take thy son, thy only son, whom thou lovest?" First mention of love in the Bible. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist, but that's just the first mention of it. But the reality is, brother, God's telling us something there. I mean, God loved his son. The son said he loved him. He's said, Lord, the love that you had, that we had before the foundation of the world.
Right.
I'm telling you, brother, you ought to be thankful tonight that the Father loved. You know what? This son don't deserve to come home.
Right.
Under the law, that father had every right to kill him when he came back.
Yeah.
He could have pulled his heel on the back of his neck and have snapped his neck and said, you're a rebellious son, you ain't a coming home.
Right.
But it ain't like that with the Heavenly Father.
Amen.
He's looking for him. The Bible said he saw him while he was yet a great way off. He knew someday, I believe, he'd come back home.
Yeah.
You know why? Because of love, amen.
Amen.
Now think about this. His reception home. So he ran. The Bible said he arose and came to his father. When he said a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him.
Amen.
Now it's interesting sometimes you do word studies. That word kissed there. They just, he kissed it one time. That word kissed there. I mean, he fell on his neck. That word kiss there means he kissed him fervently.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
Amen.
I'm so glad.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Even in my failures and my sorrows.
Yeah.
I'm glad, brother, I call up to
you.
Thank God he ain't ever pushing me off. But he just pulled me up to him, just kissing me, kissing me, holding shoe of my maid. He said, lady, kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. There ain't nothing like, brother, the sweet, how sweet kisses of the Holy Ghost that reminds us every day that we're special in the eyes of God. And so that boy, as they're coming home, he said, I'll just be a servant. That father said, no, sir, you're my son. Shoes on his feet. Bring here the fatted calf, kill it, let us eat, be merry, for this my son was dead. Alive again, he is lost and is found. They began to be merry.
Hey.
That best robe was his father's robe. That was a symbol of being reinstated in full sonship.
Yeah.
I remember something Bjorn Hastings said one time. He said, you know, backsliding is an Old Testament. See the word backslide in the Old Testament. The word backslide is not in the New Testament. But he said the thing is, people practice as much as they die to preach it. Thing is, that father, and I mean, it had to have been talked in the town.
Yeah.
That boy left.
Yeah.
He's come back.
Hey.
Somebody might have said, well, what father thinks? They see that boy out there. He's got his father's coat on. He's got his father's robe. So I guess he's took him back. Sure he has. He said, put the ring on his finger. Now the ring was a sign of sonship and acceptance of man. Shoes for his feet as his son. Servants did not wear it. Shoes for the sons. It was obvious the son came back a different person than what he was when he left home.
Yeah.
And it's the goodness and repentance of God that changed all of us.
Amen.
Last of all, you see the rejection of that elder brother. His anger would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and treated him. Now, Jesus is going to get those Pharisees and his elder brother. They're bragging about how good they've been. And the elder brother said, he said, well, Father, you let this boy come back, he's wasted your inheritance with a rider that's living. He said, I've been here with you all time. You never killed me with that. Let me tell you something now. You have to be careful. You have to be careful that you don't get this pharisaical attitude.
Right. Yes.
I tell you right now, I just don't think we ought to let them come back to church because of what they've done.
Right.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
God don't operate like
that. That's right.
Oh, no.
talked about the grace and the mercy of God. But you know what? I heard a preacher preach on this one time and said, think about that elder brother. Said he's a good son, but he's a sorry brother.
Yeah.
Amen. But I tell you what, this thing about Brother Walter blessed. And I'll give you just a story. I probably told you this. When I was a teenager, I thought I was a little girl. God saved me. I was a little boy. That's whatever you are. You know. And I loved God. He loved me. When I was probably a junior high school, sophomore, I guess it was. My mom and dad got out of church. We all got out. I started running with this little boy. I mean, we'd get up and do stuff I'm not going to tell you about tonight. So, Brother Stoney, I knew what to say. And every night when I'd go home and everything would quiet down, I could hear him. I could hear the Holy Ghost. He'd say, "Why are you doing this?" I fought that thing for a while. And I went to Community Baptist Church up on St. Mary's Church Road where I was a member at that time. And I don't advocate this, this is the way it's got to be with you. This is what happened to me. When I went to church that Sunday night, Stoney, I was so ashamed. So ashamed of what I'd done. Where I'd been, what how I treated the Lord. I remember going to the altar on the other side of the pool of the community. And this is the God honest truth. The way I felt was I felt like I was bound before an old rough timber. It almost visualized it right in front of me. And I thought, I can't look up because, Lord, you died for me to keep me out of the mess that I got myself into. You know, there's a thing of crucifying the Lord afresh, trampling his blood under the pool. And I was just out of place. It's out of church, out of the will of God. But I remember. Of course, it was in a sense of the way I was running to the call for it.
Yeah.
But I remember those same hands that picked me up at first.
Amen.
Yeah. See, my that night he picked me up again.
Amen.
He said, "Son, I love you. I'll forgive you. I'll take you just like you are." And Brother Stoney, that night was the night I really surrendered. I said, "All right, God.
Yeah.
There ain't nothing in this world for me.
Right.
I want you. And all I can have in you, that's what I want." And from that day to this, I ain't been out of church.
Amen.
I mean, I've been trying my best to serve God. Amen. I mean, God calls other priests, calls pastor churches. I'm telling you what's a fact tonight. He didn't have to do that.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
He didn't have to do that.
Amen.
But out of his love and his mercy.
Amen.
Just like the Father in our story, that's what he wants us to know tonight.
Amen.
I've been listening. You may not be in the far country yet. It might be crossing your mind.
Yeah.
Just let me give you a little word of warning. You won't stop me.
Yeah.
I heard a preacher that messed up say this. I wonder why God didn't stop me and stand. He ain't gonna stop me.
Right.
Human responsibility. That boy had a responsible life.
Right.
He knew about the Father's goodness. He knew about his love, his kindness. Thank God it never got out of his mind. It never got out of his heart.
Amen.
It went back home. I think a lot of times what would help a lot of our people in our churches if they just get back home.
Amen.
I mean, they may be coming to church, but I think I got some in my church. Some of my members are here tonight, and I just tell you what, and they know I'm telling you. 23 years, Brother Wormy, I've been changing his mouth. They've been something coming over for 23 years. Not one time have I ever heard them stand up and testify. Not one time.
Yeah.
Now that bothers me. I mean, I don't think you have to get up and get a life story.
Yeah.
But sister, I remember old Brother Wiley, the River Valley, Billy. Old Wiley didn't stand at you and say much. He pulled on the back of that pew and said, I want to thank the Lord for staying with me.
Amen.
I pray for you and you pray for me.
Yeah.
And set that down. But the reality of what he meant, every word of that, didn't he?
Amen.
And I'd like to put, I'd like to print this preacher's heart.
Amen.
I mean, don't leave your family wandering and sitting around, well, you know, I think I'm all right. I go to church.
Right.
No, you got to have a testimony.
Yeah.
Amen.
Everybody's got to have a testimony.
Amen.
You remember that little leech in the Bible said nobody could tame him? You know what Jesus told him to do? See, that legion got saved. Them old swine ran out in the ocean and sea and drowned. They run Jesus off.
Yeah.
They're scared of him.
Yeah.
But after that old legion gave his testimony, he said, go back home and tell your friends what great things the Lord has done for you.
Right.
The next time you read Jesus come back on that shore, guess what, Stoney? They're lined up waiting to meet Jesus.
Right.
You know what I want in my life? I want to have a testimony that makes people hungry. I want to know the Savior that I love.
Yeah.
Amen. Then that woman at the well, the Bible said she went back to the men of that city and told them, said, it's not this. How come see a man was told me all things ever I did? It's not this the Christ.
Right.
The Bible said some of them saw such a change in her.
Yeah.
It changed them.
Right.
Some of them got hungry. They went to hear the Lord themselves.
Yeah.
Amen.
When they came back, they found her and they said, listen. Amen. So we went and heard him ourselves. And said, now we believe.
Amen.
You know, amen. See, every church got a testimony.
Yeah.
Every individual is saved. You got a testimony. Don't ever be ashamed. You say, preacher, here's the thing. I've seen people, they say, well, I can't stand in the public and talk. Well, they talk to everywhere else.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Some of them can't shut up in other places.
Yeah.
Didn't tell me you can't say it in the church. Here's the thing, if you can't say it in here, you're probably not going to say it out y'all either.
Right.
Because this is the atmosphere of worship.
Right.
This is where we come in and say, Lord Jesus, with each lips continually giving thanks unto his name.
Amen.
Let me ask you now, are you thankful God saved you?
Amen.
Out there and found you wherever you was.
Right.
I remember there's a sweet lady, Shirley, and I've been alone tonight, this last night.
Go ahead.
But I'm having a good time.
Amen.
But I remember a lady that Shirley and I was acquainted with, and I never will forget her testimony. You talk about the impact testimony has. She's talking about Brother Stone. She said she lied about her age so she'd get her a job in a bar to be a barmaid. And this is her testimony. She said, I was in there serving alcohol in a world of sin. And she said, one night the sweet Holy Ghost coming that bar was the one I was and convicted my heart. And this was, she said, I always stuck to me. She said, I thought that was awful sweet of me. Come where I was.
Amen.
I think it's awful sweet of the Lord to come to where I was.
Amen.
Aren't you appreciating the fact tonight that he loves you in spite of who you are?
Right.
Here's a miracle. He saved you knowing you would never be perfect in this life. You'd fail. You'd fall on your face. You'd make mistakes.
Amen.
And he saved you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
None of us perfect tonight.
Right.
Amen.
And I said this again. It ain't so much about what you do, and actually it's even our thoughts that we have to be judged for.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm glad tonight. The lost, found, and the rejoicing.
Amen.
I'm going to say this to the Lord God. I didn't know it when they baptized me at Toe River up there in front of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. Around Squirrel Creek in Avery County. Brother Billy, my grandpa, I mean, they brought him a lawn chair. He's sitting in a lawn chair. They didn't tell me this for a long time. Grandpa Alonzo said,
baptize the preacher. So how do you know that? I don't know. But I'll tell you what happened to me. One night I was laying in the bed, stony, and I woke up. And the thought came to me, why are you a preacher? I thought, well, I don't know. And it's just like the sweet spirit said, because somebody will apologize before you. Said, God raised up a man to carry on the gospel.
Amen.
You say, preacher, did you weep, right? I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
Amen. And Brother Stone, this is the honest truth. I was sitting down where I have a little study. I was looking at all the old notebooks and outlines. I thought, I guess after I die, they'll probably tell me this way. And the Holy Ghost said, I'm going to call your grandson. That he'll probably use it. I never told him, but said a word to him. Like this past July, last July, I got to go to Bible Gospel Baptist Church and watch my grandson. And that's his call and his surrender.
Amen.
Preach the gospel of
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Let me ask you, what is it we really want here?
Right.
What is this thing really all about here?
Yeah.
It's about the lost.
Right.
Any church, listen, if there's no cries of newborn babe, they'll dry up.
Yeah. Right.
I have a problem. People tell me, so I don't believe in supporting missions. You know what? I heard one of the best illustrators, I believe Brother Luther Carver said. He said, the thing is, you water run into a pond that doesn't run out, you know what it does? Stagnates.
Yeah. Right.
It will. It stagnates.
Yeah.
Moving water.
Yeah.
Stays fresh.
Yeah.
And I believe that's why God blesses this church.
Yeah.
He just keeps moving the water.
Yeah.
Moving the water.
Amen.
Amen. I better hush. I love you tonight. I hope you do. But we all be thankful.
Amen.
I mean, I try every once in a while just to excuse the next of the Lord. And just tell him, Lord, I sure am thankful you saved me.
Yeah.
I sure am thankful you took me back.
Yeah.
And I didn't deserve it. Let's stand together and have our eyes open. I appreciate your attention. gracious. These lives have fallen unto us in pleasant places.
Yes, amen.
God serves. You might know somebody tonight. Might be a son, a daughter, a granddaughter, a grandson. They may be out yonder wandering in that far country. Y'all come and pray an intercessory prayer for them. See, I don't believe that, but it's in the Bible.
Yeah.
Abraham prayed for Lot.
Yeah.
While he was in Sodom. God spared Lot's life because of Abraham's prayer, what I believe.
Yes. Amen.
Lot was saved. The Bible said he was a righteous man, but he vexed his soul living in that wickedness. Boy, we ought to pray. Just keep praying. Pray. God, please save my children, my grandchildren. Save my neighbors. Save my friends. Lost and found. What rejoice when it gets back. God bless you. I pray the Lord will honor this. You might be the only thing who stands with somebody's eternal destiny, your prayer, your testimony, your witness in front of them. God uses them. Father, tonight in Jesus, we have to bow tonight in thanksgiving. I want to thank you for saving me. Lord, I just always knew or should have, but you put me back in that night. And know that I love you. I told you that today, and I'm going to tell you again tonight. But sure, I'm glad that you love somebody like me. There's times I cut people up and say, well, I had no self-esteem, couldn't. Lord, just felt like I was just useless to nobody. Thank God. Lord, you saved me. Lord, you put your calms to breeze. I know it was hard, God. But I'm so thankful that I get the opportunity to do this. Thank you, Brother Stoney, for this church and the testimony of ours, this community. Lord, I pray you'd add daily to the church such as we say, give them laborers, not troublemakers. God, we just realize this tonight, Lord, that all is in vain. If you bless and honor and help us in our lives, you tell us that without me, you can't do nothing. We're very conscious of that. Lord, I just pray tonight, God, you'll help me. Help me, Lord, to always to love you and honor you. I'll give you my best. I don't have many years left, but I'll do the best I can. And here on that, Father, we thank you and praise you for all you do. God bless us.
Amen. I appreciate the grace and the
night. Hey.
And I got a senior testimony off of every book this month. My daddy is not a very spiritual man. He's wise in a lot of ways, but he's never been one that's been very spiritual. But whenever I know him, the Lord called me to preach. He said, yeah, I know that. And I said, well, how did you know that? And he said, Daddy told my grandpa. I said, when did he tell you that? He said, before you was born. He said, I'd asked him, I said, Daddy, pray we have a boy this time. Had two older sisters, and Daddy and a boy. And don't know why, but my sister was rougher than I was. I wish he was here to hear you tell that. But he wanted a boy. He'd asked the papa to pray for a boy. He said he'd come to him later and told him. He said, Travis, he said, I pray God give you a son. He's going to. He said, one day God's going to call him to pray. And he told me that after I asked papa about it, he said, yeah, he did. And I carried his Bible, you know, for a long time. After he passed away, my mom gave me his Bible. The same day he died, the same day I took it down to river where I go to pray. And I prayed like Elisha did. And I said, God, if I could ask one thing, I pray that you give me another portion of the Spirit that you have. And I only recently retired it because it's falling apart. I still got it. You know, but I just can't carry it anymore. I mean, it's in rough shape. But he's carried it for a while, so it's been through its paces. But I still miss it. I feel like, you know, preaching out of the Bible is almost like, I don't know, it's just something you got to get used to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I've looked this back, yes, for the first time.
Yeah, maybe you can help me out. But in any case, I'll tell you this, and I'll let you go. Week after he died, he was up there, he was helping Mamma clean up his room. They had brought in a bed there for him. He had cancer, you know. Got his spine the way, you know, his neck and all. They pretty well had to cut him all the way around his head, put a cage in there on his head, on his shoulder, basically. And he couldn't move his head. They had him a bed where he, you know, elevate and raise up in there. You know, he lived in his bed. And they had all kinds of stuff in there, stuff for that. We just helped him clean all that up. And that old linoleum floor in there, that old pale yellow linoleum floor. And, there's a big old rug here in front of it, you know, it dirty, filthy, we was going to take all that up and wash it. Moved that old rug right there beside his bed, there's two little white spots we were down in that little rug.
Yeah.
And it brought back to my mind the time whenever I told him about that, he told me he'd pray, God called me to preach. And I said, Papa, what about all the times I was out living in the world and I was lost? I said, did you not doubt? And he said, Well, he said, if I considered who you were, he said, I probably would, but when I considered who God was, he said, I had full confidence.
Amen.
He said, I'm praying. I thought about that. I don't know how many hours it took to do that. I've walked a lot on one of these floors, and I've never seen a prayer out. I wonder how many times I've been knees distributed, wiggled, worked back and forth in that spot.
Amen.
It blessed my heart. Whenever he is dying, last things he prays, God, watch after his family. Watch after my grandma, keep her safe. This is going to sound crazy, and I don't want to get super spiritual on you. My mom, she does have dementia. She's getting early stages of dementia leaving. But she said the next day after he left, she said, God sent a little man to stay with her. And you know, we went to sum it up that she's seen things, but that little man stayed. And she said that when somebody knocked at the door, said that little man go before. She'd hear stuff, you know, and she'd get scared. And she always, whatever it was, I know this, either which way you want to look at it, whether it's something she is seeing, or if it's, I don't know what it was, but anyway, God answered that prayer. She was comforted, she felt safe and secure. And the point is that God answered that prayer. And even after he's gone, I still see God answering prayers. He prayed since then. He's done them gone. So just stay in there. Amen. Keep standing with the Lord.
Yes, God is.
We've all got lost family members, loved ones, neighbors. God's able and he's willing. Amen. It's not that he lacks the power. It's not that he lacks the desire. He's able and he's willing.
Yeah.
Faithfulness. God rewards faithfulness. Trust the Lord.
Amen.
Just keep trusting.
Amen.
All right. It's all hearts and minds clear.
I want to thank God for saving me with the utmost blood of Jesus Christ. And I just want to praise his holy name.
Amen.
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 Here tonight.